God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our epistle reading describes, as Paul puts it, how God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Before we get too far into our text, I have to ask you, last night did you take down the Christmas decorations? That's usually one of the things we're going to start thinking of, is when do all the decorations come down? When do we start making that switch in the back of our minds from Christmas into the everyday routine? You know, just recently, our everyday routine has changed a little bit as we are starting to do our preparation for Christmas. Now that Christmas is over, how fast do we go back to the routine? Is it when all the presents are finally broken? Is it when all the wrapping papers need to go out into the recycling bin? Is it time when the needles off the Christmas tree start falling? Or do you wait for the nice change in the liturgical season, the change from Christmas to Epiphany, which would be January 6th? Because like the one song says, there are 12 days of Christmas. The reason why I'm sort of challenging you here and how fast you take the Christmas decorations down is, how fast does it take for you to get back to your normal routine? We just got through celebrating God taking on flesh and blood and dwelling among us. How fast do we forget about it? See, too often as Christians, we fall into a little bit of a trap. That trap is, once we celebrate this grand day, does it stay with us forever and ever? How long do we keep the Christmas spirit, so to speak, going? As Christians, we fall into another trap alongside with that. Is we say that, yes, we have been justified by God's grace through faith. We have been baptized. The Spirit dwells within us. But now, what do we do after baptism? After we have been justified? We start getting into a little bit of a trap. And one of that traps, so to speak, is to put away the Christmas decorations and then wait until next year when they come out again. Today I want to sort of challenge that thought. Not that I'm really encouraging you to keep up your Christmas tree until next year. It would save a little bit of prep time for next year, but I'll let you decide that. But as Christians, what do we do when the spirit of Christmas, so to speak, is gone? Who do we then trust? Who do we then rely on? Where does our strength come from? Too often, when we get back to our day-to-day routine, we might leave the manger scene. We may pack it up. But then, where do we draw our strength? Our text for today, from Galatians chapter 4, Paul has some interesting words for us. He reminds us, when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. We remember that time as we celebrated God taking on flesh and blood that Christmas. Now, verse 5, to redeem those under the law. We may remember, because of the faith that we have been redeemed from the law. The law enslaves us. The law holds us captive. The law, being sort of connected to sin, death, and the devil, has now been broken. You may notice the picture in your announcement section for the last few days. It wasn't that of a Christmas tree. It wasn't that of a manger scene. Strangely enough, it was that of a broken chain, to remind us on how God has freed us from the bondage of our sin. And once we have that freedom, you would think we would shout with joy. And we probably did the first day we were freed. We shouted with joy on the day of Christmas. We shouted with joy probably on the day of our baptism, on those special key days and moments. But what happens when the Christmas decorations get put away and Christmas is behind us? Do we fall back into the traps of those chains again? That's the challenge. Notice in our text, It says to redeem those under the law. It doesn't say just for one day or one period of time. Our redemption through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is permanent. He has freed us so that now we are considered to be true sons and daughters. Verse 6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And why do we need the Spirit into our hearts? Plain and simple, we need that strength. Not just on Christmas, not just on Easter. We need that strength every day of our lives. And that strength doesn't come from within us. It comes from outside of us. The trap as Christians that we fall into is we know that we've been redeemed from sin, death, and the devil. We've been freed from the law. We celebrate it. And then after the decorations get put away, we go back to the old traps of the law. It sounds kind of strange. Would someone who has just been freed from prison rejoice in his freedom for a day or two and then go back to jail thinking, that's my home? I'd rather be there than in the outside world? It sounds kind of strange, but as Christians, when we start packing up the Christmas decorations, what happens to our faith? Do we go back into the old routine saying we can do it ourselves? Or is our spirit still longing to be reconnected to Christ at that manger? Notice God sends His Spirit into our hearts. Why? Because we need that reconnection. We need to be brought face to face with our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier. And that is done through the Spirit. Not just on a weekly basis or a yearly basis, but on a daily basis. Because the biggest chain, so to speak, is still alive and well. Yes, we may remember Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We may remember sin, death, and the devil being defeated. But while we're still on this side of heaven, we're still struggling with one particular person. That's ourselves. Let me read to you from Luther's Small Catechism, the sixth petition to the Lord's Prayer that says, "And lead us not into temptation." And then Luther's explanation. What does this mean? God indeed tempts no one. But we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and notice this third person, our own flesh, and our flesh may not deceive us or nor seduce us into misbelief, despair, or other great shame and vice. And though we be assailed by them, we may finally overcome and obtain the victory. Isn't that interesting? Who enslaves us? If I pick up Luther's explanation here, we enslave ourselves. That's kind of hard as a struggle for us Christians. We have the Spirit within us. We have the freedom that Christ has proclaimed for us, but then we enslave ourselves. Even though verse 7 says, "You are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." We are destined to eternal life, so why would we want to go back to the chains? We go back to the chains because of our sinful nature. But God says, wait a minute, there's a better life. You're destined for eternal life. You are a son of God. Don't go back to the chains. And so as Christians, we struggle with this concept. We struggle, there's sort of a war going on within us. The Spirit of God moving us one way and our sinful nature moving the next. So as we start packing up the Christmas decorations, do we also pack up the Spirit? Do we pack up that Christmas spirit and enslave ourselves to our daily routines? Or is that joy of Christmas with us always? Only you can answer that question. Paul here is here reminding us of our redemption for a reason. Because we do like to enslave ourselves. Sometimes we're the hardest obstacle to overcome. So we ask the Lord for strength. And as we celebrate the still in the Christmas season, we have 12 days of Christmas. We celebrate, yes, God taking on that flesh and blood to redeem us, to break apart our chains, to remind us, yes, there is a freer life out there. We don't have to be enslaved to sin and the law. We have been redeemed from the law. We've been bought at a very precious price. That baby born in Bethlehem died on Calvary's cross so that we could be free. It's sort of a slap in the face to Him when we return to the bondage of our sin and return to the ways of the law. So that's why we need to cry out, Abba, Father. You see, when we cry out, Abba, Father, like a little child crying for their own father, we're realizing we can't do it ourselves. We need the strength that comes from God. Even though some of us are a little older, and it's been a while since the last time we called for our Father, age is irrelevant. When it comes to the spiritual sense of our Heavenly Father, we need His help, His protection, His strength, not just on Christmas Day and Easter, but every day of our lives. We need that strength every day because every day we wake up and we're still stuck with the same old enemy, ourselves, our mind, holding us captive, the weight of sin burdening our lives. And yes, the Son has set us free, but our daily routines and our own self enslave us. So on this day, the day after Christmas, fortunately, we haven't put away the decorations yet, but they'll come down before Epiphany. But when they do come down, it doesn't mean that our faith comes down. It doesn't mean that God's presence comes down. God is with us always to strengthen us, to encourage us in the faith, to remind us of the freedom He has won for us upon Calvary's cross. Just like God delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, He also delivers us from the slavery of sin. But please keep in mind that as the people of Israel were leaving Egypt and they left, some of them were thinking, maybe Egypt wasn't so bad. It's kind of different out here. Maybe they were good Lutherans and they just didn't like the change. As Lutherans, we don't like the change. Well, if we don't like the change, then maybe we need to keep the Christmas tree up. Why change it? It looks good, huh? I don't think we're going to be doing that. But just as a reminder, God doesn't change. His love, His faithfulness, His joy, His Spirit, we saw it in action on Christmas. And it's in action every day of our lives. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, not just for one day, but for the rest of our life, so that we can be with Him in eternity. Don't put away that Christmas spirit and tuck it away into a box, but to live it, enjoy it, and bask in the glory that, yes, we have been freed from sin, death, and the devil. I know it sounds kind of strange. We just talk about that baby being born in Bethlehem, and we immediately crucify Him on the cross. That's right, because that is where our salvation is. We don't allow the little baby to grow up, so to speak. Well, we do sort of in time as we talk a little bit more about His life during the church year. But we immediately always go back to the cross, because it's in that cross that we are freed from sin, death, and the devil. It's in that cross that our chains are broken. It's in that cross we are redeemed from the law. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.